Hey, this is Matt Cain with the San Francisco Giants, and you guys are listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, Ben Lee, and Eric Nathanson. Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast. Standing on top, not gonna stop. We came to play. Ain't slowing down, falling off. We're here to stay. And we're stomping on whatever's in our way. I'm feeling like a giant tonight.
Hello, everybody. It's Thursday, October 19th, 2017, and this is episode 131 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. And playing in the background, a little overture to what has been happening in these playoffs so far. So we'll get to that in just a moment, but joining me tonight, all the way from Florida, it's past midnight there. I love this guy. He's a night owl. Eric, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I got to be up. I mean, the baseball last couple games were like 9 o'clock starts here. And, you know, tonight with the way things turned out, you know, and having a vested interest. So baseball keeps me up, especially this time of year. So it's great to be talking baseball. I mean, how's the feeling out in the Bay Area with the way things have shaken out thus far?
It is not good. Here you are. Obviously, the reason I played that music wasn't just for the Dodgers, but also the nicknamed Evil Empire, the Yankees, who have been storming back against the Astros after being down 2-0. They're one win away from joining the Dodgers in the World Series. And I got to tell you, there are 15 teams in each league, right? So if you do the quick math, everything being equal, there are 225 pairs of teams that can face each other in the World Series. There are 225 combinations of World Series opponents. And I am not being facetious. I'm not being cute. I am being literal about this, what I'm about to say, Eric. Out of 225 potential matchups, there is one and only one matchup in which I swore to myself, even as a child, if this ever happens, I know it happened when I was young, but I was a little too young for that, that I'm not going to watch it. I would never watch a World Series, not one inning, not one pitch, of a Dodgers-Yankees. I just didn't think it was really going to happen. And here we are, where Yankees are one win away from making that happen, and it's just the worst. And you asked me about how the Bay Area is feeling. Obviously, very bummed about the Giants. I mean, this is where we joked in the years past when, you know, the Giants won their three championships. It's like, did they sell their soul? Did Bruce Bochy and Larry Bear get together and with the devil and do something? Is this what this is? Because what's going to happen after this? And I feel like it's happening now. This is the other end of the contract that they signed up for. And that is, one, being the worst team in all of baseball. And number two, the Dodgers making it two and potentially winning the World Series in that same year. So
against
it's
the
bad.
Yankees, no less.
And against the Yankees. And that's the problem. It's like, obviously, I want the Dodgers to lose more than anything, but the Yankees aren't, I mean, they're far behind. They're a very distant second, but they're still second, man. Like, I hate that team so much, and it's because of the attitude, the payroll, the 27 World Championships. It's like that in any league, you know? You always want to take down the most successful. You don't want to see the most successful always win. And that's what that is. Obviously, we have A's fans in the Bay Area as well, and they, you know, hate the Yankees a lot more than the Dodgers. So they're in kind of that same boat. And they also hate the Dodgers for what happened in the 88 World Series with, you know, Kirk Gibson and the whole thing.
Well,
so,
I mean,
they have a lot of hurt butts too.
Yeah, I was raised in the same way as far as these were. Literally the two teams that I was raised to hate growing up were the Dodgers and the Yankees, because my dad grew up in the New York with the three teams there. And all his stories of going to games, though, after the Dodgers and Giants moved, were at Yankee games. So, I mean, he still went to the Yankee games, you know, even though he hated the Yankees because they always won. And it's the same reasons that we have now, 27 championships, you know, always having, you know, the best. Now all the free agents, you know, want to play there. And at least that used to be the case. But this year, like, I don't hate the Yankees as much. I just don't. Like, the Dodgers, I'll always hate the Dodgers. Like, oh, yeah, I'll acknowledge when they're good, but I'll always hate them. I don't hate the Yankees as much. It's fun to watch Judge. Didi Gregorius is Brett Gardner with his, like, 10 pitch at-bats. Like, this Yankees team isn't as hateable as years past.
I agree with you there. The individual talents on that team.
Empire. Right.
And even, you know, the individual talents on the Dodgers that you can appreciate, like Clayton Kershaw and Cody Bellinger and some of these guys who are professional baseball players. They're not cocky or they don't have the huge egos or whatever. It's, you know, obviously we all hate the Yasiel Puigs and guys like that who kind of tarnish the game a little bit with their showboating and their attitude and their lack of determination sometimes. But, yeah, I agree. Aaron Judge, I mean, he is one of the most polite, introverted superstars I can even recall. Like, you know, even Steph Curry's got more ego than him, you know what I'm saying?
And he's like gone through the struggles of striking out all the time, and he's been right there in the middle of these comebacks during this, you know, three-game stretch at Yankee Stadium. Game 4 and 5 he had big hits during. You know, so they're like, they're fun almost. Their bullpen minus Chapman. Chapman's a guy I'll never be able to root for. Their bullpen's fun to watch. They kind of mow through guys and reminds me of the old Yankees bullpen that led up to Mo, except it's just, you know, it's just not like the same evil empire. The Dodgers are the evil empire at this point.
Know, Robertson and Betances and these guys that,
yes,
that could be closers anywhere else. You know, they've got multiple closers in that pen. And we talked about it in our, and we'll get to it in a few minutes, our playoff predictions from two and a half weeks ago. And we absolutely all acknowledged, you brought it up, that the Yankees scared you. And you thought if the Yankees could get rolling, their bullpen was just going to do damage or prevent damage, really. But and that's exactly what's happened. You know, you get a little offense, you get some comebacks, you get whatever, and the bullpen's just shutting the Astros down.
Yeah, especially because they're scoring runs late, and those are the teams that we see win postseasons. When the Giants won in the postseason, they'd score a lot in the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth, you know, third time through against the starter or against some of the, you know, bullpen. They'd put the pressure on, and then the core four would come in and shut it down. And that's what the Yankees and the Dodgers both have in the postseason this year. You know, I'm going to have to root for the Yankees if it's Yankees-Dodgers. I mean, it'll be the first time in my life.
I mean, it's kind of by default, but like I said, I'm not gonna purposefully watch a pitch. If it's on in a bar that I'm hanging out in,
really?
Or a restaurant.
So you're really still, you're not even going to watch? I'm totally going to watch. I'll be glued to it if it's Yankees-Dodgers.
Yeah.
No, like, to me, that's, as weird as it sounds, I don't think it's a hate thing, but since I grew up hearing so much about those teams as well, it for me, it's kind of a link to when the Dodgers and Yankees played all those years back when they were all in the New York days, you know, early in the 50s. You know, they played each other in like 55, 53, 52.
Oh, yeah.
I think there was another one. You know, 81, like you said, I was 2 years old in 1981. I wasn't old enough for that. And I think that was the last time they faced each other in the World Series.
Yeah, I think it was 81. I was 7 or 8. Well, I guess it was in the fall, so it was right before I turned 8. So, I knew of it, the World Series, and I watched a little bit of it. But my son right now, you know, he's it's exactly my son's age because he's going to turn 8 in December. I would have been turning 8 in November. So it's basically imagining me as my son. Like, nope, he doesn't watch the World Series.
He's not going to tune in. If you're not tuned into it either, he's not going to like happen across it and watch it. He's going to do, you know, what a kid does and does his own thing. I think it's cool for the throwback value. I think it's cool for
Major League Baseball loves this. Are you kidding me? Yeah. This is like the ultimate as far as revenue and ratings. This is exactly what they wanted. The first 10 teams, you know, the 10 teams getting into the playoffs. I'm pretty certain that if you went to MLB, their board, their brass, their whatever, I don't know who it is, but the people who run it, and I don't mean, you know, what's his face, the commissioner, but if you ask them what two teams would be the best for revenue and ratings, and I don't think there's any doubt it's Dodgers-Yankees out of the available 10, so this is what they want.
out of those 10, the four that they ended up with, you know, you throw Houston and Chicago in there. I peeked at this before the LCS has started. They are the four biggest cities in America: New York, LA, Chicago, Houston.
Oh, I didn't know that. Houston was in there.
Right.
Huh. Interesting.
And out of metropolitan areas, though, Houston falls down a little bit. Dallas actually leapfrogs them because they have a bigger with Fort Worth and stuff like that. But Houston was the fifth biggest metropolitan area. Okay. D.C. actually is the sixth biggest metropolitan area. So, like, for Major League Baseball, it's a bonanza for having eyes coming in all these places right now. And people are going to tune in. People in North Dakota, if it's Dodgers, if it's Yankees Dodgers, they're going to tune in.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. It's just unfortunate. I think for a lot of people, a lot of West Coast people, this is just not the World Series they wanted to see, because there's just a lot of universal hate for the Yankees that's kind of bi-coastal, you know? Certainly, you were talking Red Sox fans and A's fans and things like that, but there's a general hate for the Yankees across the entire country, just like there kind of is for the Patriots or the Lakers or the Celtics or whatever, just because of their past success. You know, the Dodgers aren't really, I would say, hated too much by Midwesterners or East Coasters who aren't Giants fans. But definitely us Giants fans and A's fans out here, not too much of a fan of them. So I wanted to go ahead and just look real quick. Willie was going to join us tonight, but I think he has a little bit of an injury he's dealing with, and Ben is packing for Australia. So, we won't be seeing either of them.
Ben is so upset at the thought of a Yankees-Dodgers World Series that he is leaving the country and going to the other side of the world.
That's
right. I mean, that is what baseball has driven him to. What an amazing sport.
$3,000 ticket. Worth it.
Wow.
Now, so the three of us, of course, Ben wasn't a part of the last podcast, but the three of us went through the 10 teams and we kind of made our little predictions. And Eric's been the closest so far, but none of us were 100% correct.
I was so close.
You were close. You were getting there. So you had wild card, of course, Minnesota at New York. I think we all picked the Yankees on that one. Colorado at Arizona. I think we all picked Arizona on that one as well. So that was a clean sweep there. But it was getting to the NLDS is where things started getting a little messy.
Wait, the wild card games. Was it weird to you, like it was to me, that it played out exactly like we all thought it would? It was like, really? Like, baseball's not supposed to be, you know, okay, just the home teams win, let's move on.
I know, right?
Couldn't have shaken out any more perfectly. Like, the eight teams that deserved to be in the playoffs this year were the final eight teams standing for these series.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no doubt. So, you know, the second wild card didn't make it in, right? So it would have been like the traditional wild card system prior to 2012, where it would have just been the Yankees and the Diamondbacks. So they both move on as expected, being the home team and probably the superior teams, of course. The NLDS, of course, we had Arizona at LA. I chose LA. You chose LA. Willie went with Arizona. And that was a big, big screw you to Willie there. And I think this is a byproduct because he just said, anyone but L.A. Anyone but L.A. So I think Willie was just using his Giants heart to vote on this one. But obviously, L.A. swept Arizona. Arizona didn't even put up a fight. It was a pathetic
series. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was a, they steamrolled them. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, it was just like, well, yep, they're the better team. Let's see. Then it was, of course, Chicago at Washington.
I went with Washington.
You went with Washington. That's right. And Willie went with Washington. So, you know, I don't know what it is. It's hard to repeat as champions. So I think that was part of it for me. Another part is Washington obviously finished with a better record. And, you know, I thought they were the superior team. But the one thing I wasn't thinking about until, of course, they were bounced in that very dramatic fashion that they were, is that, oh, yeah, Dusty Baker's the manager. I totally forgot.
Yeah, I mean,
he has one of the worst strings of misfortune or bad luck, or I don't know if he stepped on a black cat's tail 20 years ago. I don't know what the hell happened with Dusty Baker. But going all the way back to, you know, the 02 World Series when he was with the Giants.
It goes back farther. Solomon Torres in 1993.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Duh. Yeah, last game of the year.
I think it all goes back to that. If he doesn't start Solomon Torres in 1993, if he starts Woody, it could be a whole different history for Dusty Baker.
That's right. I was at Candlestick Park watching the Minnesota Vikings and the 49ers. My dad's company had a luxury suite that day. So I was up in the luxury suite and the TV was on simulcasting the Giants game down in LA. And, you know, they had won the first three games of that four game series and they just needed to win that last one because Atlanta refused to lose. The Braves went on fire after literally their fire at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium almost burned the place down. They got Fred McGriff in the trade. And they finished with 104 wins. And here they're, the Giants are sitting at 103 and eating one more. And yeah, he chose the kid, Solomon Torres. And I remember that. That was awful. But he has lost as a manager 10 consecutive potential game or series clinching games. He's 0 for 10. Dude, he's had 10. These aren't elimination games. This isn't like the Giants who were about to be eliminated when they won 11 in a row. And it finally got killed when the bullpen blew up last year. But Dusty Baker has had 10 shots at winning a series. And he's lost 10 consecutive games. That's crazy, man.
That's crazy. Amazing.
That's what happened to them.
You think law of averages, you know, he just back into one or two of them. It looked like this year Steven Strasburg was going to bail him out because that he was phenomenal in that series. But, I mean, Dusty even did pull all, like, the weird moves. He left a guy that couldn't hit up there, and then he had weird bullpen manage. How do you not close it out? 10 straight.
Know. Yeah, and that's, they lost by one run, 9-8. And that was a wild game. I got to admit, that was an extremely entertaining game. I actually was pulling for the Nats, and I know you have a bit of a connection to the Cubs. I just don't like seeing teams repeating that I don't have a vested interest in. I want to see new blood. And the Nats have never won as a franchise. From the beginning of the playoffs, actually, I was kind of rooting for the Nats and Astros. And again, that's a series I don't think the MLB brass would want to see. But
not at all.
That's kind of I was rooting for.
You know. Well, it's funny, the Nats, they have a bit of a tortured history for being as young as they are as this second franchise, you know, not being the Expos anymore. Because they've never made it out of the LDS round, and they've been in the playoffs, what is it, 5 times now, I believe?
Yeah.
You know, the Giants got them in 12. They've lost, 14, was it 14? Giants got them in 14. They lost last year. They lost this year. All of them, 4 of them then. And they were all 5-game series except for the time the Giants beat them, which is kind of hilarious. Yeah. So they have a tortured history. So they just have to go through it first.
Oh, and by the way, you know? Those 10 games that I'm talking about, obviously, you know, 2 of those games are when he was a manager of the Giants because he could have won, should have won game 6. And then, of course, hypothetically could have won game 7. But then the tables were turned when he was the Cincinnati Reds manager, managing against who?
Oh my God!
The
that
Giants.
Was 3 straight. Yeah, that was.
And
three
that was 3
that
straight.
One.
Exactly. He had 3 shots, of course, to knock out the Giants. So that's already 5 of those 10 right there.
Yeah,
and
well, I can tell you where. Where the other 3 are. We're back in the 2003 playoffs when the Cubs had a 3-1 lead
on
the Marlins.
It was
they
the
lost
Cubs.
3 straight.
Yep, that's right. It was the Cubs and Marlins with the whole Bartman thing. So I mean, you start playing this in your head, and if I had really been thinking about it, I would have been like, "Well, shit, you know, maybe." If Dusty Baker has a 3-0 lead, he probably can't close it down.
Oh, my God. He's like the Cleveland Browns. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it happened again to him. It just wasn't on my radar. And we all went Washington. Anyway, wrong about that. Cubs moved on, barely. Scraped by. And, of course, they faced L.A., where tonight, after a 1-game bump in the road for L.A., they had won their first 6 playoff games. They finally lost last night by 1 single run. They just absolutely dismantled the Chicago Cubs tonight. I mean, that was a textbook ass whooping. You not only had Clayton Kershaw on the mound, who has plenty of rest now. He has his 5 days off to start game 1 of the World Series. Boo hoo. I know. I was thinking. I was like, wait, if he pitches tonight, can he? Oh yeah, he can still pitch game 1.
Yeah,
never mind.
It still lines up perfectly.
It's like, damn it. But there was that little glimmer of hope I think we all had last night. Not like it was really going to happen, but maybe they could push the Dodgers back to L.A., you know, make them sweat a little bit.
That
make
was
them...
my only hope. See what happens.
Yeah, because if, like, Kershaw could have lost tonight, you know, maybe they would have panicked and had to bring him back out for a game 6 or 7 out of the bullpen. I don't know. I was just playing all these weird scenarios in my head.
Well,
that...
to be fair to the Cubs are not a team that is scared of Kershaw. You know, they beat him in game six last year to clinch the pennant.
Yeah, they did.
You know, they faced him down. They've done their damage against him. So it wasn't like Kershaw was facing the Diamondbacks again or even, you know, it's not like a run in the mill run, you know, playing the Padres for Kershaw. Yeah. It was still a Cubs team that knew him, knew his game plan, and you know he still had to deliver. But I mean, Kiki Hernandez tonight just
three bombs, just, man.
Yeah, and the grand slam just absolutely ended it. The
Dodgers, yeah, that was
just
it.
Justin Turner looked great. Taylor looked great. Their bullpen was, I mean, it was hard to watch. They were the better team. Like a lot of people are gonna revel in the fact that the Cubs lost because apparently Cubs fans on Twitter are not well liked by the other fan bases. I don't totally get it, but the Cubs didn't really lose the series as much as the Dodgers were just a better team.
Oh yeah, you know? I could say like the Nationals sort of lost that series against the Cubs.
Absolutely,
you know, but you definitely cannot say that the Cubs lost the series. No, the Dodgers beat them. The Dodgers,
yeah, they did.
Just beat them. And the only game the Cubs won was a nail biter by one run. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Well, that could have gone the other way, too.
They played – the Cubs hit like the Giants, you know, here to tie it all to the Giants since we're a Giants podcast. All they did is hit solo home runs in the LCS. Literally every run was scored on a home run, and the only two-run home run was Addison Russell in game one off of Kershaw. Every other run the Cubs scored in the series was on a solo home run.
Isn't that crazy?
So if you can't – if you don't knock in the guys that get on base – you know, you can't win games. And it's a testament to the Dodgers pitchers getting the pop-up, getting the strikeout, getting the double play ball, you know? They all, you know, even Alex Wood pitched really well last night, and Arrieta pitched a little bit better.
Just a little bit better, you know? Yeah. It was five home runs yesterday.
Road.
That was the game. Five solo home runs.
That is a playoff record for the most home runs to account for all the scoring, all time.
Yeah. That was incredible. Yeah.
It was.
And a guy who was 0-for-20 in the postseason hits two. It's like, go figure. What the hell?
They sat him down the game before. It's like they should have sat Javi down in game one against the Nats, so maybe he could have gone off for the other times for them.
Oh, man.
But we didn't see the Cubs coming for that. In L.A., they played exceptional baseball.
Yeah, and, you know, I doubled down on Washington, and Willie did too, and we thought Washington, who would have been there, or we thought was going to be there, and they almost were. We both predicted LA, but you know, that's what happens, right? I doubled down on Dusty. That was just dumb. That was just dumb. So, but you did call LA. You called LA going to the World Series, which, you know, I get it. They're best team in baseball. I think it was a little bit of my subconscious too, just going, you can't now. But I wasn't maybe I wasn't being completely objective. That's all.
Well, I said it on this podcast. I know sometime during the season that this Dodgers team is one of the best I've seen in years. So I kind of have to ride with that, you know, objection. What's objective? Oh, good job, Eric. It's not late. That objective view.
I know. At one point, they had won 50 out of 58 or whatever it was, some ridiculous streak. It was like one of the best stretches in modern Major League history, and then they lost 16 out of 17. Remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know how a team does that. Yeah.
Well, think about it. They did what Cleveland did. Cleveland went on a hot streak and then lost three games in a row at the worst possible time. The Dodgers got their three in a rows out of the way in the middle of August after they were already hot. So they kind of were able to balance it out. And they were able to coast. And, I mean, look at Kershaw and how he's lined up in this playoffs. Pitched game one of the LDS and then 1-5 of the LCS, and now he'll go 1-5 in the World Series. Dodgers can't ask for it to line up any better.
No, they get their rest, you know, and they get home field advantage, by the way, too, because we're off of this stupid All-Star game gets home field advantage thing. It's just by record now. So Dodgers had the best record in baseball, so no matter what, they get home field advantage.
Yeah. And they get Corey Seager back.
That's right. He was off the roster for the LDS and the LCS.
That's why Charlie Culberson was there.
Yeah, the ex-Giant. Charlie Culberson. God.
I will always love him, though. Charlie Culberson is the man that got traded for Marco Scudero, so I will always love Charlie.
That's right. And we needed Marco that year. I'll tell you that.
Hell yeah, blockbuster.
All right, so back over to the American League. What do we say? Okay, so we all called New York, of course, and then they they face Cleveland. Now, to me, you know, Cleveland, to me, and it still is on paper and throughout the season, was the better team. And I don't think there's many people that would argue that in terms of paper. But that's why they play, and it's a short series, so anything can happen, right? I mean, Seattle won 116 games in 2001 and lost in the first round. So it happens. And Cleveland, you know, they just they had their chances and they just blew it. They're up 2-0, and they just needed one more win, just like the Reds did against the Giants, that kind of thing. And New York said, yeah, we're just going to win the next three. Is that okay? In pretty dramatic fashion. And they moved on to face Houston, which was, you know, I think all of us predicted Houston, right, for the LDS.
Yeah, we all still had Houston going all the way through.
Yeah, so they beat Boston pretty handily. I didn't think that was too hard of a call.
Not at all.
And you know what? It's crazy because we all called Houston to win the LCS, the ALCS. And I tell you, first two games, they were close, though. They were close. They were 2-1, low hitting, low scoring, the whole thing. But Houston still got both. So you figure, all right, they're going to New York for three. They just need one. Need one more win. That's all they need. Boom. New York wins all three. And what? Last night's game in completely dramatic fashion, right? Where they were down, or is that two games ago?
That was two games ago. Yesterday was a 5-0. Yeah.
That's right. They won yesterday behind Tanaka 5-0. But it was two games ago in which Houston had a 4-0 lead in the sixth or seventh inning, and the Yankees decided to pour it on, and they took that one away from them. So it's I've been talking to a couple of Houston fans that are friends, and look, the Giants have won three World Series. We're pretty content right now, despite the fact they had a horrible season this year. Houston fans, they haven't really had anything. They've had nothing.
Nope.
And they've had, you know, I wouldn't say they've been cursed, but you know, the last time they were in the World Series was 2005 against the White Sox. They lost that. Obviously, they've had some heartbreaking seasons from when my friends were much, much younger. But, you know, it's got to be tough. I mean, I got to admit, you know, the Giants going up 2-0 in an LDS or an LCS and then just seeing that your opponent just get within one win, that's got to be pretty defeating. But Houston does have a shot here. They won the first two games at home. They're coming back for two games at home. New York has won all of their postseason games at home, or their home postseason games. They won all of them.
Yep. The only road postseason, the only road postseason game they won was Game 5 in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, New York has lost on the road and won at home. I mean, Houston's got like a few things going for them. Verlander was phenomenal in Game 2.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of the best playoff performances I'd seen in a while from a pitcher. He dominated, and he's taken the bump for Game 6. And it's kind of nice that they lined up Verlander to get both starts at Houston. And I don't know if they did that on purpose, because Verlander, you know, basically gives them a shot for the Game 7 crapshoot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's tough to call who wins a Game 7, especially with, you know, the way this is going. If we, like you said, we all picked Houston, so we'd need this series to play out where the home team wins every game. And that's only happened in the playoffs on four different occasions. Like, in the history of all the playoffs, all the seven-game series, only four times has the home team won every single game. Huh. So it's kind of hard. And the first time wasn't until 1987, the Cardinals-Twins World Series.
Yeah,
and then the Twins did it again 4 years later with the Braves.
In 91, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then in 01, the Diamondbacks and Yankees did it.
Okay. That was a Luis Gonzalez hit, yeah.
Right. Because you remember the Yankees won all those games in dramatic fashion at Yankee Stadium in the middle.
That was like the
young
Scott Rolland down the line, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yes. And then apparently in 2004, St. Louis and Houston played a seven-game LCS where St. Louis won because they had home field advantage, because the home team won every single game in that series. So, like, there's precedent. It can happen. Houston, obviously, you know, was involved in one of these already. Verlander is a key. I mean, if he's got his stuff tomorrow, then anything can happen in a Game 7.
Oh, yeah. He's 5-0 down the stretch with, like, a 1.04 ERA, and in the playoffs he's been pretty unhittable. So they got the right guy on the bump. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, they really do. He's one of those guys that gets rekindled. He's a Jack Morris, you know, I'm going to step it up when I need to. Better than a Jack Morris, but, you know.
Yeah. It is funny to see, and it's really cool in a game like baseball, because you don't see it as much in football or basketball. But baseball, you just always seem to see that crafty veteran who is in the twilight of his career, or maybe just, you know, hasn't been what he was the last couple of years. But they get into that moment. They get on that main stage, that center stage, and they seem to be able to dial it up to an 11 in terms of focus and clarity and calmness. And they just know what they're doing. And maybe they're taking advantage of young kids who are too amped up or who aren't experienced. And like Jack Morris is a great example there. And there's numerous examples throughout playoff history of the old crafty guys being able to really, it's where their experience pays off.
And yeah. It's like their heartbeat. It's like their heart is beating slower than everybody else's in the entire stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not, the stage is not too big for them. They're like, right. This is nothing. It's too big for these kids. Let me take advantage of that.
And that's the thing with the Yankees. But you know what? Nobody knows how to close it out in the Yankees-Astros, because basically none of these guys have been on teams that have done it.
No.
So, I mean, we're talking Yankees-Dodgers possible World Series, but we could all still be right here and say that the Astros make it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's entirely possible. So we won't count out the possibility.
Yeah, so the finality of it, I called a Washington-Houston World Series with Houston winning it. Willie called a Washington-Houston World Series like me with Houston winning it. And you called an Astros-Dodgers World Series with the Dodgers winning it. So you rode that horse all the way. And I'm telling you, man, I'm hoping you're wrong. I know you're hoping you're wrong, too. And I get that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've rooted against them in every series.
I get that. But, oh, man, I tell you, I'm going to go crawl in a cave if the Dodgers win. I'm going to just hear nothing from my – oh. Can't even conceive of that. It's inconceivable.
That's what I was going to say. And you are, and it's fair. You know, Dodgers fans, many, many Giants fans, are, you know, you're going to hear this, and you know your Dodgers fans friends are going to be insufferable too. But, you know, it's okay, because, you know, it's one.
I stuck it in their faces three times. Three times I did it. So, you know, turnabout is fair play if it happens.
Yeah, it just happens that the Giants were a pile of crap this year, and you know, it turns out that 2017 is probably going to go down as one of the worst years ever. So, you know, it kind of falls in line with everything else. You know, it just makes sense that the Dodgers and probably Yankees are going to play in the World Series, culminating with a Dodgers title. But hopefully it'll be Houston. But I mean, it just makes sense. It's 2017. It's the cherry on the big pile of crap. It started with the Patriots making an unbelievable comeback in the Super Bowl.
Oh, you're right. Oh,
and then,
my God.
You know, you go to hockey, the Penguins won. No offense to you Warriors fans and the Warriors, but people like hate the Warriors now, especially because KD went and then they win the title. You know, I mean, what else has to happen? You know, it's just one of those years. It's like the only thing would have been worse is if it was a Patriots Cowboys World Super Bowl last year. I mean, it's just one of those years.
A little bit of solace in that the Warriors did, you know, avenge their previous year's loss to Cleveland. Because I am a Warriors fan. However, my baseball fandom is about, four exponents higher than my basketball fandom. So I watched those games intently, was totally into them, was excited. But when they won, I didn't go out and buy a t-shirt or a pennant or wave the flag. I was like, yay, they won. All right. So what am I doing tomorrow? You know what I mean?
Right.
The Giants, I am sitting in an office plastered with championship newspapers that are framed, replica World Series trophies, 5 jerseys, pennants, a Tiffany lamp in Giants colors, engraved bats. I mean, you name it. It's all around. I look like I'm in a 14-year-old boy's bedroom, for God's sake.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, even though the Giants aren't in it this year, and we'd have to live vicariously through other teams, the drama still pulls you. You know, and it's the allure of the game. Like, I'm a casual basketball fan. And I watched the first year the Warriors won. After that, I didn't care. Mm-hmm. I've seen LeBron play in the finals 1,000 times. I didn't care. So I've barely tuned in the last couple of years as a casual fan, you know. But a casual baseball fan will definitely tune in to, like, the playoffs that have been going on this year and see the drama and the shifts in the series. And, oh, wow, the Dodgers actually, they didn't choke yet, you know. Because we're all still waiting for that choke. I don't think it's going to happen. But we're all still waiting for that choke.
Well, I mean, this is their first pennant in 29 years since they were in the World Series last and they won it. So they kind of got not the big monkey off their back, but they got the little monkey off their back. They made it to the World Series. So, and they're what, 7-1 in the playoffs so far. I mean, they're just rolling. They are rolling, man. And here's the other thing: you get that issue if this game or if the series goes 7 in the ALCS, you're gonna have whatever team wins coming in being down in terms of their pitching staff. You know, they're not going to be starting their ace is what I'm trying to say.
But they'll get to start him in game 2 probably, because the AL gets
two
the
or three,
right, because they get the fortunate of game 7 will be Saturday, so they'll have Sunday and Monday off.
They ended one day earlier than the NLCS, which would have ended on Sunday on a game 7. That's right. So, yeah, you're right. They'll have Sunday and Monday to rest.
Somebody lined up for, like, game 2. Yeah, I don't know if it's Keuchel is who or I don't you know, Tanaka.
Yeah, maybe something like that. All right, well, I mean, that's the playoffs in a nutshell. I'm sure we'll talk about it in a future podcast in a couple of weeks. I don't think we're going to record right after the World Series unless something amazing happens. But I wouldn't know what happened anyway because I wouldn't have seen it.
I'll text you the results every night. I'll let you know.
But I got to be honest with you. I know there's been some Giants news, and we could go into so many of these things, but some of these things happened a couple of weeks ago, and they're not really crucial or anything like that. And it's too early for hot stove. You know, there's no reason to really talk about hot stove stuff. That'll be our, you know, 1 December podcast or something like that. But yeah, nothing much has happened except the Arizona Fall League is starting up, and the Giants have 3 or 4 prospects down there, including their second-ranked prospect, Chris Shaw, and their number 7 prospect, Steven Duggar, which a lot of Giants fans are up on this guy. And I don't know if they're up on this guy because they're just looking at anything to help in the outfield.
Yeah. I think he's got power numbers. But Shaw's the guy I'm up on. He's the one that I want to see him keep hitting because he seems to be more of an all-around hitter.
Yeah, no, he seems a little bit more balanced and well-rounded, like you said. The Giants need help. You know, they got an aging lineup, and I saw a tweet go out the other day saying, okay, here's the forecasted lineup by position for next year with their salaries attached to it. It doesn't look that good. It does not look that good. You got Hunter Pence at $18 million. You got, you know, Span up there. You've got Brandon Belt at 17.5. You got these guys just eating up so much of the payroll right now, and it just hurts. You see Buster Posey at 20, and you go, oh, okay, well, that's fine. But really, I mean, other than that, I mean, it's a tough financial lineup to swallow at this point.
Well, that's why we'll have to see. Well, you know, around the winter meetings times, I think might be a good time for us to hit some hot stove stuff, because I think we'll know by then a direction the Giants want to go. We'll have heard some talk if, you know, people like Pence or Span are on the trading block, or, you know, even if they've cut ties with certain veterans, you know, on buyouts that we don't expect. You know, it's like you said, hot stove doesn't kick up. We don't know the direction of the team just yet. But there is a lot of dead weight that needs to be figured out right now.
Yeah, and I listened to a couple of interviews with Bobby Evans. He's been on KMBR quite a bit. And even one with Brian Sabian. He's been, you know, as he became president and kind of gave everything down to Bobby Evans, he's still involved in all the decisions. But it really is Bobby Evans' show, but Sabian said that he's, in polite terms, he was not happy with this season. But you could read between his Brooklyn accent lines.
Yeah.
He's pissed. He is pissed. And I'm really curious to see what kind of influence he may have on this season. Because, you know, the last couple of years, Bobby Evans has been pulling the reins. And he's been the one repeatedly, when I went to Media Day in February, and he had a suite, and he was doing a long interview, and I'm sitting there. I didn't ask him a question, but the other reporters just were beating him down, going, really? We're going to platoon these guys in the outfield? Parker and Williamson, like, that's your solution. You know, people have been crying for a right-handed power bat in left field for 3, 4, 5 years. You guys haven't had any power out there since Barry Bonds left in 07. It's been 10 years since you've had a viable left fielder. Like, well, and he's just like, no, we feel confident in our you know, farm system, and these two guys are going to come up, and you know, one of them may take the reins more than the other, but we're supremely confident that they're – and, you know, I mean, that was the biggest shit show they had all year, or one of them, I should say.
Well, you got to think Sabian looked out on the field this past season – and said, what the hell happened to the team I built? What happened to the team I put on the field? This does not look like the team that I put on the field. And I, like you said, I hope he takes some ownership of it and heads that direction, because Sabes was pretty good at building and finding the right parts. I think that's why Bobby thought he could get away with platooning in left field, because, you know, the Giants have won – World Series with Gregor Blanco and Juan Perez in left field.
But
that was because the pitching was better, the bullpen was stronger, you know what I mean? The defense was better. It wasn't just because it was lack of options. So I hope Sabes looked out there and was disgusted, like, you know, and the Yankees and Dodgers winning is going to push Sabian. A, he was raised in the Yankees organization, and B, the Dodgers are the Dodgers. And if they do well, it's going to push the Giants to want to catch them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's just weird how, you know, I don't think everyone, I mean, no one thought the Giants were going to do as poorly as they did this year. Obviously, they exceeded any expectations towards the negative performance side of things. But everybody was calling for a left fielder, and they just couldn't pull the trigger. And I'm sure there were deals out there. Bobby Evans admitted there were deals, but he just said they didn't fit, you know? They had to give up too much. They cost too much. It's like, all right, you guys finished with the worst record in Major League Baseball, okay? Doesn't get much worse than that. I'm just saying, you know? So, you know, hopefully they can fix things, but hell, I'm not smart enough to know what to do. We can rail on these guys all day, and the fact is they won 3 championships in 5 years, and now they're taking their medicine, and a little bit is kind of payback for the contracts that they've handed out. And, you know, kind of like with the Tim Lincecums and obviously now with the Hunter Pences and others, they get these large contracts after they've won. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And after they're past their prime. And it's like a reward contract. It's like, hey, thanks for everything you did when you weren't earning as much as you probably should have back then. Here's a big lump of money. And then they just fall off the edge. Performance dies, and now they got an albatross tied to their payroll. And well, you can't move them because of their contracts. So.
And then you have to wonder if the franchise itself is like, okay, well, we're paying these guys for this time of winning, so once these contracts run out, we'll try to do the cycle again, which isn't really what you want to be doing, because then you feel like you're always behind the eight ball.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one thing that Bill Walsh was really good at. He could take guys that were still in their prime, but on the backside of their prime, but he could see that in a year or two, they weren't going to be as good as they have been. And he'd cut them. He was ruthless. You know, trade them, cut them, or whatever. He just basically only wanted players in their prime. That's it. Doesn't matter if you're Joe Montana or Roger Craig or any of these guys or Ronnie Lott, you know, once they started on their decline. Because look how many of these guys, Jerry Rice, look how many of these guys played, although he was after Bill Walsh too, played with other teams, you know, because the Niners basically discarded them. And it seemed ruthless at the time, but the point was, you can't keep your heroes around forever and overpaying.
Right. Well, and you know what? The funny thing about that is it goes back to the point that there's nobody from any of the Giants World Series teams that's gone on to success anywhere else. They've managed to squeeze the life out of the end of careers for some guys. Cody Ross, Pat Burrell, Edgar Renteria.
Marco Aubrey Scudero, Huff. Aubrey Huff. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Tim Hudson.
Brian Wilson. I mean, the list, look at that. The list goes on. And it's funny because the Niners sustain the winning thing, but the Giants, they hold on a little bit too long. And it's great that they can squeeze the end of it out, but you can't keep trying that formula because it's not going to work every time. Yeah. You need to have the guys at their age 27 years, age 28 years, at their top talent level when they are at their best, not when they're on their decline. You know, like even Michael Morse, there's another one. I mean, it's crazy.
You're right.
It's crazy. The list is
they have struck gold so many times with these aging veterans that they picked up off the waiver wire heap. Cody Ross was actually a block against the Marlins, by the way. They were going to pick him up, and it was more of a block to prevent the Marlins from picking him up. And they're like, oh, we'll just pick him up. And it's kind of like, oh, yeah, we'll just put him out in the field because you have to guarantee them a spot on the major league roster when you do that.
Yep.
And then he started playing well. And they're like, oh, well, this guy's actually not playing bad. And boom, he's on the playoff roster, and boom, you know, it's a World Series leader.
NLCS MVP, right, yeah.
Like, they did not sign him because they thought he would help them win a world championship. That was not the point at the time. So they've definitely struck gold a few times. But – like you said about chasing the Yankees and the Dodgers, you look up and down their lineup. Is anyone there's not too many guys that are 32, 33, 34.
Nope.
They're all young.
Justin Turner. Yeah, Justin Turner is like one of the old guys, and he's in his prime right now.
Yeah.
He's 32, but he's in his prime right now because of what he's done the last few years. And he's like phenomenal in these playoffs. Like the guy, I hate watching him hit.
The big leprechaun or whatever. I don't know what he is, but
he's a horse's ass. That's what he is.
Yeah, he was drafted in like the 54th round or something like that. He bounced around. And I mean, he's one of those late bloomers.
The Mets caught him three years ago. Mets were like, nah, you're not good enough to play with us. Then they went to the World Series. Him, he's like, screw you guys. I'll get better.
Yeah, crazy.
Magical leprechaun.
All right, so... every time I see him, I just think he's gonna bust out in this Irish accent. Don't you know?
I mean, and the beard keeps growing, so it adds to that like mythical looking creature. You know,
it is. It's like redheaded Yeti from L.A. or something. I don't know.
Yep.
All right, so we'll close out. We hadn't done this the last couple of times because it's usually during the season, but we should hate this guy. I'll go ahead and lead off. It's not a guy. It's a bunch of guys. So. Pretty much anyone on the Dodgers. It's just a blanket statement. Clayton Kershaw is a nice guy. He's a nice guy. Yes, so Puig, dick. But you know what? Just going to blanket them all. It's your fault, Puig. Just saying. But yeah, second vote goes to anyone on the Yankees. I still like Aaron Judge, though.
See? Yeah. There's one or two.
He's a Bay Area kid. He's a Bay Area kid, right. Too. Yeah.
Right.
And he grew up a Giants fan. Diehard Giants fan, by the way. He actually was really hoping he was going to be drafted by the Giants. And now, what's interesting, he was drafted in the same draft as crap. Why am I blanking out on his name?
Christian Arroyo.
Yes, thank you, Arroyo. But, you know, Arroyo was taken before Judge that year. And so, obviously, Giants fans right now are going, what the hell? We could have had Aaron Judge. And it's like, well, yes, but at the same time, you can't say he would have turned out exactly like he has now. Now,
yeah, he might not even be on the Major League roster if he was in the Giants organization right now.
Exactly. It's like, you know, yes, he could have been that big outfield bat that they've needed, ironically. But at the same time, you know, who knows how he would have done in the PCL, and who knows if he had been called up to the show, how he would have hit in cavernous AT&T Park. It could have been a whole butterfly effect thing. But I will tell you this. We still are waiting for Christian Arroyo. He still has promise. He hasn't fizzled out yet or anything like that. But,
yeah, but Judge,
I kind of would want to see what would have happened. I got to be honest.
Judge is the likable guy in the Yankees. The guys, all right, I'll hate specific guys. I'll hate Justin Turner. I was just talking about him because he's an ass. The guy is the pest. He's like David Eckstein was, but better.
Oh, but better.
Yeah, like way better. Like Eckstein, bigger. Like eked his head out. Turner's hitting the ball, you know, like Kirk Gibson. And I'm also going to hate on you know, you started the show with the Evil Empire theme, and Dave Roberts is starting to show himself to be a quality manager. He really is. He has pushed all the right buttons. He's played his bullpen right. He's put the right guys in to start. So since he is the guy pulling the strings of this new evil empire, I'm going to call him Darth Roberts from now on. I'm going to hate on Darth Roberts because, I mean, you got to get to him if you want to take the evil empire down. And so far, he's been unflappable. So I absolutely hate Darth Roberts for now.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, isn't it weird? I mean, this guy, he's been in the middle of a lot of baseball history. Obviously, he was a part of that amazing 3-0 comeback for the Boston Red Sox in 2004, which eventually led to them winning the World Series with that amazing steal. They just call it the steal or whatever it was. Oh, did you see them tweet about that? I think it was yesterday. Boston did. They said, you know, hey, here's the steal. It's kind of a national holiday around here. And then the Yankees responded, the Yankees Twitter account responded to the Red Sox account and said, oh, I'm so sorry. We have to actually get back to work. But if you want a ticket, we'll get you one. It was awesome.
That's great.
It was like total troll move. It's great.
We are recording this podcast on the fifth anniversary of Rally Zito.
No kidding. Oh, yeah. Wow.
5 years ago was game five in St. Louis.
St. Louis, yeah.
Rally Zito. I believe they won 5-0. I'm not sure if that was the score. It might have been 7, but 5-1, I don't know. But Zito, yeah, Rally Zito was 5 years ago tonight.
No kidding. Now, it's interesting. You know how Dave Roberts also played for the Giants to close out his career. I was just looking it up right now. I was wondering, I couldn't remember how many years he played with them, but he was signed in December of 2006 with the Giants, and it was a 3-year, $18 million deal. But, you know, he was limited by injuries, and he was older and all that stuff like that. So on March 5th, 2009, he was released by the Giants despite the team still owing him the last year of his contract. I forgot about that. The Giants ate $6.5 million for his last year of his contract and just cut him.
I mean, my goodness, Dave Roberts is a master at theft. That is impressive.
Can you believe that?
He stole money from the Giants. Jeez.
Yeah, he did. Could you imagine if you signed a contract for $6 million and they're like, yeah, you're not very good, so we're going to cut you. Oh, by the way, you still get all that money.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the players' union. Baseball is fantastic. They've been able to take care of them. Or their contract buyouts. Like, what is Kane getting, $7 million to walk away?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a $7 million buyout. That's right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, man. Oh.
So I'll hate on them.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Dave Robert, I think he's a nice guy. Oh my God, he's
absolutely. He's a great guy, but I think he's really a good manager, and the Dodgers were smart to fire Mattingly. Like, he's no Don Mattingly.
No,
you know what I mean? He's no Don Mattingly. Last year was what, his first year as the Dodgers manager, and he didn't lose the LCS because, like, you know, he did bad moves or anything. The Cubs were the better team last year. They beat the Dodgers. You know, this year when Dave had the better team, you know, he's able to move the pieces in the right places. I think Roberts is going to be there for a few years.
Wow. It's just weird because as I get older, I always think of managers as being a lot older than me. He is a year and a half older than me, Dave Roberts.
Wow.
So he started managing the Dodgers
at my age.
Yeah, basically. Or even a little bit younger. well that's your sobering thought for the day. Of course, Kyle Shanahan's younger than me, right? He's like,
well, think about this. The guys that are doing the pregame shows for like the NLCS are like Jimmy Rollins and Ryan Howard and Pedro. We watch them in their prime as adults. You know what I mean? Yeah. These aren't like, you know, Tim McCarver and I don't know who the hell else did the booths. You know what I mean? Tim McCarver's the only guy that was there year after year after year. Pete Rose, you know, it's not guys from the olden days. It's guys from like 2 years ago now. It's so weird.
Right. Oh, God, that's bizarre. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. I don't know when we're going to be back. We're just going to kind of play it by ear. We'll see if we record after the to the World Series.
Depending, if it's the World Series of Doom.
You know what it'll be? Yeah. It'll be a podcast where you just tell me what happens or what happened. It'll just be Eric reciting game one of the World Series in the first inning. The skinky batter came up to the plate and Clayton Kershaw delivered a pitch. Ball one. Pitch two. That'd be great. Just do an audiobook.
I could be like, on a 2-2 pitch to Judge, it was high and outside from Kershaw, but he managed to connect and hit it over the right field wall for a solo shot to give the Yankees an early 1-0 lead.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be fun.
I'll just make a 10-hour podcast. Why not? Have a few beers.
Something to fall asleep to.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in. I know we didn't talk much Giants, but that's because the Giants aren't in the playoffs right now. So just, you know.
Have you seen the Giants?
Spoiler alert. Right. Have you seen the Giants? All right. So anyway, Willie and Ben couldn't make it tonight. Obviously, Ben's in Australia. You can follow him at Fried Duck. Willie at Two Out. Or I almost said your handle. At Willie Dills. I think he burned his hand or something like that. So you can tweet him some well wishes. Hopefully, he'll recover and be back shortly. You can follow us individually, again, myself at ChadK21 and Eric at 2OutHits, that's with the number 2, or collectively at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook, we are there. I got a couple of articles up my sleeve, so look for those in the future. Eric, you got anything to pimp?
I don't. I've been mulling things over, but, you know, I've been so busy, so I got nothing to pimp.
Yeah, no, I have the writing itch. All the time. I just can't find the time to actually do it. You know what I'm saying?
I
always
come up with
these ideas to do research and write these articles, and it's always like in the car on my way home. And then I get home, and then it's like kids and dinner and baths and play rehearsal, and suddenly it's 11 o'clock, and I'm like, what the hell just happened, you know?
And you don't want to be staring at a computer screen then with the words and the research.
Well, then my motivation's gone. Yeah, I'm exhausted. Right. And I'm just like, okay, I'll try again tomorrow. It just doesn't happen. but we try because, you know, we get paid the big bucks, right? Did you get your check last week, by the way?
I did. I appreciate it. The stamp. All right, good. The stamp was too much, though.
Yeah, well.
I didn't know we could cover the stamp out of our expenses. So
it was a stretch, but, you know, those YouTube credits are rolling in.
Oh, right. It was a good quarter then.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll go ahead and see you next time for episode 132. In the meantime, this is Chad signing off for Eric and everyone else. We'll see you next time. A-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.